Hello, everyone. For those who are listening to this, this is what we recorded when we were at PenguinCon 2012. You're listening, obviously, to the podcast right now, but you can see the whole video recording in four parts. If you go to webcastbeacon.com, search for PenguinCon 2012, or follow the link from your RSS feed. Otherwise, continue to enjoy this podcast instead, if you'd like.
Bass.
Obviously, all the people showed up for us.
Start rapping.
You're the only one left. You have to do the lyrics.
For you.
This is your show, man.
You didn't
record
that.
We are backing you up. Boots and cats
and boots and cats. I get to edit it. We got Beacon Beats down. We're laying down Beacon Beats.
Beacon Beats.
Fat rhymes.
I got a keytar. We should turn this into a band.
We should.
Yeah, we could.
I should bring in, my Casio and I'll be good.
We got a drummer. Drummer.
No drummer.
Program saving.
I have no sense of rhythm. You got no sense
That's
of style. I got no sense. Well, I wear a fedora.
Yeah.
I just had no sense of style.
After that moonshine on Friday, I still don't think I have much of a sense of taste.
No.
So.
Fedoras are always in style.
So, anyway, this is the PenguinCon 2012 Webcomic Beacon panel. The room is packed. You can't see this, but everybody is here.
There's chairs.
They're all very polite. They're being very quiet.
Yeah.
You're hanging on our every word.
You can cut the tension with a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty
cool. You could cut it with a strong breath.
So we have, this is PenguinCon 2012. We are part of the Webcast Beacon Network, a home for creative content podcast. What is my tagline?
Hosted by...
No, I'm trying to think of the whole tagline. I'll fix it in post. I'm Fess. I do a lot of stuff.
And since it's a video, it's just going to cut to a thing of Fess standing there awkward, like, Webcast Beacon Network. We are
with a different set of clothes on.
Yeah.
Covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comics news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com.
And I'm Fess.
Of way too many damn projects, but mostly from the Webcast Beacon Network of the Webcomic Beacon, which started in 2007. Mark Savory, co-host, came on, I think in year two, after he had done, it was like, basically shout out sort of comics. Hey, this comic is cool, go read, sort of like a review.
I do reviews, yeah.
Yeah, reviews.
Well, hello there.
Yeah, and eventually he came on as a third co-host. Tanya is no longer with us. She's
on
not
the show.
She's
in
not
spirit.
Dead.
She's with us in spirit.
She's not dead. But she might as well be. No, I'm kidding.
She's
dead!
She's in Colorado.
She's got her own stuff, so she stepped down, so I'm vetting for a new third co-host and seeing how that works.
You could clone me.
So I'm looking for a new third co-host and see if that works. Maybe two of them. But actually, I'm talking with a couple of people.
You need that much to replace Tanya.
I might make up Webcomic Beacon 2. I don't know. There's these other two people that have ideas, and hey, less work for me maybe. But then later on, we've tacked on the Webcomic Beacon newscast came next, which Alex had.
I am the co-host of the newscast.
You're one of the co-hosts.
The cohorts of
the Webcomic Beacon newscast. I wanted something a little bit more topical now, relevant, to try to sell people to come to the site. It's not very archive-friendly, because it's like, that happened last week, nobody cares anymore. But I wanted that separation, so. And it seems to be going all right right now.
Mm-hmm. So who else do we have here?
And there was another show added called The Trumpcast. Which
all three of us are on.
Yep, Mike.
Praise!
And Adam.
Who are these people?
Or Jim.
What are you going by now?
I'm trying to go by Jim. It's a process.
I want a new name, too. From now on, I am Armando.
You can't pull off Armando.
I am Armando.
You have no mustache.
I am muy bien. No, okay, you need a mustache to be Moy.
With a mustache.
Jim, Alex, Arm & Hammer.
Oh, this can't be good. Those are permanent, aren't they?
Arm & Hammer, I can get behind.
Armando, there you are.
This isn't something you're going to regret it.
That's going to be there tomorrow when you go to work.
Call them yet. They would take you away with me.
I need an adult.
A different adult.
Mando de Covenant.
The trope cast, I guess we're still trying to figure out what we want it to be.
Basically, the trope cast is trying to find a deeper understanding of memes, tropes, and the creative process, while also deconstructing pop culture to see if there's anything useful for you or us to use to make the stuff that we make better.
Mm-hmm. Mighty good.
And mostly it winds up us arguing about giant robots versus ponies versus Sailor Scouts. Hmm. But really, I think the trope cast is the drippings that wind up in the bottom of the garbage can that are the distilled essence of all of the garbage, except as a podcast, and we taste slightly better.
Well, it's refined a little
bit. It makes
a
dandy sauce.
You can. That's right.
Yeah, it's like that coffee that they have to feed to the bear cat first. They feed the coffee bean to the bear cat, and then after he poops it out, They wash
the
it off,
out of
and
the
then
beans.
They make the coffee out of the beans.
I won't be having that coffee yet.
Oh, it's like $300 for a cup of it. It's incredibly expensive.
You know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I am convinced that all this hoity-toity food that sounds so disgusting is a trick that poor people have played on rich people. It's like, hey, what's the most disgusting thing we could possibly come up with? Squid innards. Oh, yeah. Let's give it to that rich king over there and tell him it's a delicacy. That is kind of the key of it all. You basically take the things that nobody else wants, and somehow you spin it so you can sell it.
It's
That's
walrus
marketing.
Polenta is just grits.
It's all in the seasonings.
I just want to know how somebody discovered the bear cat poo coffee in the first place. They were like, I could pick coffee beans off the tree, but there's a pile of them right here on the ground all neatly. Okay, I'm gonna have to wash them off, but and then like
they watched Bear Grylls.
Yeah,
and they thought,
Well, you know, if you're waking up in the morning, you really need a cup of coffee,
and
you just don't have the strength.
No, there's none left on the trees. Well,
I guess it's okay.
Disgusting stuff like snails and fish eggs and.
So anyway, webcomics.
Webcomics.
So those are three of the shows that we do on the podcast network. Another one is Web Fiction World, which doesn't update that frequently. But I got a nice girl from the UK to basically head the show. They've been doing kind of like what early Webcomic Beacon was doing, and. You know, kind of for creators sort of thing, like different types of web fiction, how to get your web fiction out there, events like, you know, NaNoWriMo to take part in, and...
Rye, that's one of the things that there was a big argument this year on Google+. Is it NaNoWriMo or NaNoWriMo?
See, I would think it'd be NaNoWriMo because the word is writer, so it'd be NaNoWriMo. So
whenever I read it in my head, though, it always sounded like Remo.
Yeah, but if you don't know what the hell it means first, what the hell is NaNoWriMo?
That just means you're wrong. That doesn't mean the pronunciation is right, though.
Tomato, tomato, wacko.
Yeah, but I also say MySQL.
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 That's just wrong. But then it did have an original sequel that was called SQL. In the beginning, and then it was SQL, and then it was reduced to SQL, and then became MySQL when they made the simpler for dummies version of it.
Because they couldn't call it the sequel, because then it would have been...
The Celtics are really the Celtics, but we don't say that.
Sequel to Electric Boogaloo.
This time it's personal.
Yeah.
The Revengeing.
So, the web fiction show, another thing that's been added
to it
is we've gotten some people that will do readings of web fiction we either have permission of, or it's Creative Commons or public domain, things like that. And one new thing that we're going to be trying to do, we got permission from, like, completed serials and do serial updates of just, like, a chapter or two from, like, say... Red and the Big Bad Wolf or something like that, and just go through into the end and just kind of offer that as more content. And each, it'll be like a micro podcast in like 15-20 minutes, and to get a couple of, so basically kind of making like an online audiobook. And I'm talking with at least three different people, getting permissions and all the legalities as much as possible. We're not stealing your content. We're doing this. It's a cooperative sort of thing. You know, things like that. And that's going to be coming around the corner. And additionally, another recent show is First Issue, first video web series that the Webcast Beacon Network is doing, which is a comic book review show where we review first issues of comic books and evaluate whether or not they do their job as what a first issue is supposed to do. That is to make you get into that comic to buy number two and so on. And we started with the New 52 from DC Comics, which we were really surprised about. There's a good mix of what we felt failed, the ones that were, you know, could go either way, and whether or not they succeeded. And we kind of had to separate them between old and new readers, with an older reader like this versus a new reader. And I'm brand new to reading comic books, so it's really that sort of raw perspective with Melissa and Marcus, who are also on the show. They've actually worked in the comics industry. Melissa has been a professional colorist and letterer, and Marcus is currently writing stuff and working with Oni Press.
Now all I can smell is marker.
So,
how long were you sniffing that marker before you let him draw
that
on your face?
Well, once the fuzziness was starting to move, and now I'm just, oh, hi, this is going to be fun. Okay,
you know, going. When
I drew a mustache on him.
You know, when I'm drawing webcomic hell, you're going to have a mustache the entire weekend now.
Yes, and I will be called Armando.
I don't care if it's out of chronological order. You're getting the mustache like the first day.
What, my evil twin showed up this year?
You know, going back to the web fiction
world. Wait, get the
world,
marker out. You have to draw to go.
You should get somebody that does
we've
like,
drawn enough for the like, moment. Thank you.
Almost like Shakespearean pronunciation to read the worst possible things. Just like as a, you know, like get somebody, you know, like to somebody
a
who's got a deep,
reading.
Booming voice and to do a dramatic reading of Cupcakes.
You mean like the interpretation the of problem. The Pokemon theme song that was done by
yes.
Biscuit?
The yes. issue
the most
is
epic thing ever.
I have a rule for the network. We can't use anything we don't have permission for, unless it's like public domain. Even if
we
it's
can find, I can. I will see this dude through. I will find you permission for something terrible to have someone read awesome.
All right. All right. If we can do that, because
it'll be like the podcast version of The Eye of Argon.
No, I've seen things like Little Karibo for a while was doing, people were writing fan fiction about Yu-Gi-Oh! And he was actually doing like live readings of it as podcasts. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and a lot of people, like, because I used to do MS, the Mistings, the, like, this is the far-off world of, like, 94 and BBS news groups and stuff, but where you take a terrible fan fiction, get permission from an author who knows that it was a terrible fan fiction, and then write an MST3K fan fiction shell wrapped around their fan fiction, which is, like, the bots commenting on the fan fiction as they're reading it. So I know how to talk people into giving permission for things that they've created that they know are bad.
Well, go for it.
It can happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't, like, when you get things like people that have written things, people that write fan fiction in which actual companies use in canon, and then they go around, because they love them so much and made fan fiction, they go sue them and win. It's ridiculous. So, not that we have any money, but
screw the man.
So, yeah, a lot of like creative content that we provide on the site and try to have fun with it using pod-safe music on the site. I got permission directly from a guy. I don't know if anyone has heard of Lapbox Tracks, which is used to be Volk Vibe Records. He does like a lot of remixing and electronically composed music. He'll track everything together. He's really cool because he has, like, instead of different genres, he's made different, like, furry characters that are DJs. So each different audio styling is another character. So if you like Mayhem, you like to follow that type of music. And then there's, like, Hell, another one, an album came out that's called, like, Hellhound or something like that. That was 100% copyrighted music. remixed together, because, you know, he was making a statement with, like, SOPA and all that sort of stuff, and making a point, and actually it was really, really, if you like remixed music, I'm listening to this, like, I remember that, I want to go listen to Ace of Base now, because he makes, like, a little bit of that, or it's like, hey, that's from the Blast Core, the video game, it's like, I remember that, it was like, all this little fun stuff.
How do I see that as, it would be really cool to make, like, a remake of the Peter and the Wolf play, except using, like, modern music, opposed to just the individual instruments.
Yeah, that could be done.
You want to do that?
That'd be awesome. We just need
get
to
on that.
If you want to act it, I'll mix it.
Well, I don't know if I can act.
Well, what are we doing here today? It's PenguinCon.
It's PenguinCon.
PenguinCon 2012.
Indeed.
And, is it PenguinCon 11 or?
It's 9, I think. We're on 9.0, isn't it?
9?
Is it 9? What's my thing? It doesn't say. They've given up the numbering. It's just the 2012.
They don't. So we are the Webcast Beacon Network, or at least part of it. There are at least 16 people working under me for
directly
the network.
Directly under me.
Yeah, no, I'm like executive producer and everything. No, it's like Adam's the director of the Tropecast, and well, he's the only other director here. I got Anna in the UK that's the director of Web Fiction World and whatnot. Thomas Revor is director of Newscast, and I got people searching for news and everything, and so it's like, I wish I could pay people, but I'd like to not be in the red first.
By people, you mean Eric, right?
No, we have two.
You got a second one now?
Yeah, Jason joined.
Yeah, Jason, Jason did a lot of work. Who's a web fiction leader as well, so it's from within the family. The only people that have gotten paid thus far, you could probably count Melissa and Marcus, who've gotten pizza after we've recorded 10 episodes in a row.
You don't get pizza.
Well, no, I'm not going to send you.
You should send me pizza. I live in Ann Arbor, and there's no good pizza in Ann Arbor.
Diana,
I'm from Chicago. I know what pizza's supposed to taste like, and it's not pizza.
But have you tried Pizza Place?
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, Pizza Place is fantastic. I was very impressed by Pizza Place.
Stop advertising. We're not getting money for it.
That's okay.
That was so delicious.
How do you Google Pizza Place to find Pizza Place? There's, for those listening or watching at home who are confused, there is a pizza place around the hotel that we ordered from last night called, and I kid you not, Pizza Place. That's it.
Simply the best.
Simply the best.
This menu... When I actually looked at it after I asked the hotel if there was a pizza place nearby, it looked like the kind of menu that, like, the characters in a sitcom would get. It was so generic looking.
That's funny.
I'm glad that the pizza actually arrived, though.
Yeah, it did. It wasn't just like a front.
No,
I'm hungry.
Fast and delicious.
It was not fake sitcom pizza.
Are we all dining before we leave, or what are we doing?
No. I have no idea what we're doing. Oh, the other person she kind of got paid, is Diana Nock, who's done the new... We have a mascot.
Oh, she got paid.
We have a mascot named Becky Beacon. She's kind of she's a mute, actually. And the Muke is—it's funny because she works in radio. So Becky Beacon, our basically mascot. She
has a great face for radio.
Yeah, she does. She's really cute, actually.
Yeah. She's got a horrible debilitating condition. It's hilarious.
I thought you said she was mute by choice.
I haven't completely written the character yet.
You're doing a George Lucas.
No, I haven't
started.
There are banthas in the background everywhere now.
She's not deaf. She doesn't speak.
We're going to start a marathon, and we're going to have Wendy Wheels in a wheelchair sponsoring it. It's going to be hilarious.
She's not deaf, but she doesn't speak. That's that part of you. I looked it up. It does actually exist where someone is.
Oh, yeah, but you... It's childhood drama. Is it childhood trauma? She just, like, doesn't
That's
speak?
That's what I originally was finding.
Like, her parents
beat her whenever
no,
she spoke.
Why would you have a mascot who's been had a rotten child, had some trauma?
I said I haven't completely
The only way
yet.
To get away with that is if you're Batman, and Becky Beacon is not Batman.
Well, we do
you
have.
Haven't seen much of her.
We
yet.
Do have the superhero Becky flying around on the Tropecast cover.
Becky is one of the.
She's also a pony.
And a giant robot.
There's been a furry version of her. Fans of the show and guests of the show have drawn their own versions of Becky, and we used it basically as like cover art for that particular episode. So. So that was really fun. But when I rebranded the site to Webcast Beacon Network, I got Diana Nock, who just finished up Porecraft and does
Intrepid Girlbot.
I had a computer, and I built a computer for her. Gave her the computer, and she gave me artist credit. So I've been whittling down that credit for drawings of Becky. So, and then once, if I have to redo a new site, I'm going to be paying Michael Sisk, who does Webcomic Inklot, to do any more. Because he, for free, he made the current website. So, and it's very nice. I didn't recently buy Webcomic Z, a Webcomic List site, but I'm trying to integrate that.
You recently remembered that you bought Webcomic Z
on an impulse buy months ago.
It was my fault, because I suggested it.
I recently gained 90% control of it, so now I can try to do a little bit more with it. I need to redo the entire site. I'm trying to integrate it more with like the newscast, make it really like an information hub without paywalling it, because one of the big things from when I started Webcomic Beacon has been let's help each other be better. Let's tell each other about our experiences, learn from those experiences, and just have fun with it, you know, and not be too serious and not be dicks about it.
You know, we could do a donation thing for the Tropecast. We could see if we could actually get people to pay us not to do it. Just like have a, like every dollar you pay delays the Tropecast another day.
You know, it should be you should attempt a 24-hour podcast. And you could say, like, we'll end this
sooner.
Because that
worked out so well the first time you tried.
Yeah, but you guys...
It's not my fault that my wife, like, had a baby right beforehand. I was totally set to orchestrate that thing, and I got everybody involved, and then I was like, oh yeah, by the way, baby cannon's about to fire. Sorry, I can't...
Baby cannon.
Gosh, I wish I'd get people to pay me not to draw my comic. That'd be great. I might make a profit.
So, webcomics, anyway. I broadcast the Webcomic Beacon live every Sunday that we have something scheduled. Nobody else right now. Well, Tropecast will broadcast live when it can, I suppose, whenever, but it's not like a routine thing.
Saturday nights at 9, we're trying for every other week, but because we were in prep for PenguinCon,
right,
we skipped the last one. And the second to, we should have been on last night, but we were here.
So we're here.
Hi.
So we're here today.
So
anyway, tropes.
Okay, so
yes.
Unless you got something prepared. No?
Okay. No.
All right, so...
we never have anything.
I can talk about Sketchbook Pro, apparently. I'm an expert about it now.
So let's get a volunteer from the audience. You.
You in the front, little boy.
Come on up, Jofu.
Come on down.
Yay. You're on the...
Where am I going?
You might... Then you...
Here.
Yeah, Hal's ejected to the floor.
So this week's... This week's guest is Jofu. Tell us about yourself, Joe.
I'm single, and I'm... No, I'm not. I'm not single at all.
Hey, ladies!
I'm from this area. We're in Dearborn, Michigan. I actually grew up here. I do a web comic called Desmond's Comic, which is about a Wolverine who stars as the lead character of a Pokemon-style video game. And it's all the trouble that is caused in creating a ridiculous game like that. And I like to draw pictures.
And it can be found at?
Desmondscomic.com.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay, so I was in a couple of panels with you, or at least one panel, I remember. At least one panel. We talked about publishing your comic. By the way, the print-on-demand review video is coming. Not that this video might be coming at any timely notice. We had a panel that talked about publishing your comic, which was... I should have been recording that, really.
We were phenomenal. It was, I think, a black hole actually opened
up. You should have been there. It was fantastic.
We created a black hole.
I wept.
You're so phenomenal.
You know what? I think maybe if we can find one more person that has some of their own experience, we can go ahead and make an episode on that and just kind of redo the whole thing. And
I don't know if we could redo it. It was that good.
The magic is gone.
You were on fire.
Something that'll be good enough anyway.
Good enough.
Good enough for the internet. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, all you
mooks
listening at home, you're getting the B grade stuff here.
Yeah, you should have showed up.
Lightning in a bottle. I'm telling you.
So anyway, so how long have you been doing Desmond?
Desmond, I'm approaching 3 years right now.
Isn't that a rather personal question?
You know.
Should your camera be
the world? Who's your daddy and what does he do?
I need an adult.
Is it the only current project that you're working on?
It's the one I'm focusing on probably the most.
Okay. Do you have other comics that are, or do you have spinoffs?
I don't have other. Desmond is in a world of his own, but all the characters could spin off into their own stories. Such an eclectic crew of characters that he surrounds himself with that there are a lot of plans to move forward with. Some one-shots, like, you know, mini-comics or one-shot prints for some other characters.
Okay. And before Desmond, were you working on anything before then, or is this your...
No, this is the first my first work, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of artistic training or background do you have?
I actually am an illustration instructor at the College for Creative Studies, which is here in Detroit. I graduated from there with a degree in illustration, and I've been drawing my whole life.
Okay. So, do you have any, like, comics you made when you were a kid?
I have a bunch of them, but my mom is, I'm half Korean, so my mom is obviously full Korean, and she runs a tight ship, so most of those comics are in the trash heap somewhere. But, you know, growing up, I've always drawn comics. I was always inspired by Charles Schulz and the Charlie Brown comics that he drew. So, like, in grade school, instead of reading the novels that I was supposed to during library hour, I would find the Charles Schulz collections and read those over and over and over again.
That's awesome.
You know, I guess, you know, this is what I always was supposed to do, because even as a kid, I would make my own little comic strip books. You know, I had to... They had to be formatted the exact same way that the Charles Schulz were. So
right.
I made my own books and, you know, made my own strips and comics and stuff like that. So it's just something I've always done.
Yeah, I think I still have my grade school comics just on paper, jokes that, you know, every kid thinks is hilarious, but we're all like, yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Weirdo.
Family it's funny circus. When I was...
I don't know. I mean, crazy... It was crazy comics spelled with K's.
So wacky.
Yeah, and one of them was actually based off of a kid in my class. And then one was... I had no idea what the hell to draw. I mean, like, that's an alien. And I had a talking dog in it, and I... Yeah. If I find them, I'll scan them and put them up online. You said you had something like that? Like your own...
I had this, like, one little weird comic I drew in grade school. I have no memory of what it was. I just know it existed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get into comics until, like, you know, actually making proper comics until I was in high school, though.
What about you?
What about me?
Have you done anything embarrassing?
You're talking about comics, right?
Sure.
In general.
Oh, a comic. So
give us a good story.
Oh, geez.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I used to do a comic strip in high school. I actually did a couple, and I still have them all. But mine is so much better now. I don't post them anywhere.
I don't know. Maybe we should do that at some point.
Post up old.
Come up with an event. I don't know. We should try to find a way to market and make money off of them.
Just the retro scribblings?
Yeah, like come one time only live stream and you see all of our terrible work.
You can if you go to my site and you go to
autumnlake.com.
At autumnlake.com.
Yeah.
And you go to the fun stuff, there's a gallery button you can go. You can see the what's called early strips, and that's the comic strip I do now, which had its origins in the 80s. And you can see some stuff from the 80s that I did.
Back the track up for just a second.
Yes.
Here, The thing that we're all looking at, for anybody watching the video, is our audience, as one, just rose from their seats and ran out of the room like the
robots.
Terminator 2
yes.
chasing the car. No explanation, just...
I think he had a
It's movie. Like a reverse flash mob or something.
He'll probably be back.
So when you see us going... That
yeah.
was what that was.
And that's Ahmed Fahim, who does the comic Silent Pirate. He used to do the comic Antisocial. That was about a turtle, but no, he's come a long way. He was here last year at PangoCon. I didn't get a picture of him with the rest of the group, and we have to get a picture here before we all leave, too. It's a thing we've been doing, so I got to make sure Ahmed is in this shot.
Yes, and we're going to get him on the stage.
Yeah, he's not a
we
big
might
talker,
have to sit him in front of the microphone to hear him, but we'll get him.
We'll manage.
And hopefully there's going to be a couple of girls coming in here later.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we all hope there'll be girls.
That you know, they do what's called Sidekick Girl, which we met here at some, and they are the other two.
Other.
Last two web cartoonists that have not shown up here.
Apparently I'm chopped liver.
David Adams was here, who is...
we still keep you on the
track. Did his best for wrangling things for us. So thanks to David Adams for that. He does
a slightly off topic.
Slightly off topic.
And Saggy Man Breast.
Yeah.
Those are names of his comics.
Yeah, I know, but still.
It's a dedication to his fit to lose weight. It's a fantastic...
I understand, but that name...
That's the point.
So when he eventually gets his goal, and he's lost all of the weight... Is he going to change it to, like, firm man breasts?
No,
or
they're
something?
Still going to be saggy. They're just going to be floppy.
Taut man breasts.
No, they're... No.
Anyway, webcomics.
I'm so glad we're
My head looks like a vagina.
You know, like when a dog sits up and begs, it'll be like that.
Yeah. Oh. Except maybe, hopefully, less.
So,
furry.
Joe, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. What? Hey, what a great show you have, guys.
Yes.
We work for the man. We can make fun of him. It's kind of how.
I've learned so much today.
So, how often do you update?
I update once a week.
Once a week. Yeah,
yes. My webcomic, right? Not my saggy man breast.
Right.
Do you do like a page? Is it a page format? Or
it is. It's more like a Sunday comic.
Like
so, it's about... I do every Tuesday update my webcomic, not my man breasts. Yeah.
Fighting other man breasts in battle?
That'd be epic.
That would be.
So, since I don't really know... I'm stalling for time... because we have so much of it. What are some comics that you read?
I don't read anything, actually.
Bastard. End. You're one of those people.
I used to read a lot of comics, and then it got to be too much work. He's back.
Hey. Oh, he's back, yay!
Do I know?
Cigarettes?
What?
What a cigarette.
What is booze that? And cigarettes? What is it vodka?
Oh.
Get over here.
I'll drink
that's
that.
Rubbing. That's rubbing alcohol, isn't it?
Rubbing yes. alcohol.
To take off your mustache.
Oh, well, thanks.
Shucks.
What are the cigarettes for?
They're tissues.
Oh. Thanks. Apparently he doesn't want to see the mustache anymore, and we do what the audience says.
Time to put Armando away.
It's time to take it off. And now I'm going to be sniffing rubbing alcohol. Well, thank you.
Take a picture of it.
It'll be fantastic.
Wait.
Yeah, we need a picture of this.
Armando.
I need to touch it up.
Armando. Yes, it did smear slightly.
Okay. Blinking.
It's going to take me a moment. Did you buy this? This is like, you bought this for 99 cents so I can take out my mustache.
He's a great audience.
You're my new best friend. You know that? And you're in my ninja village. It's gonna happen.
Why don't you just shave the hair off?
Just
and
give
you
him
can
the
get
red
one on the head, like the other guy does.
Okay, that's what it is. I am going to give us you my red ninja headband, my own personal one that I've been
no,
wearing.
No, actually, it's my own personal.
We're
one,
giving you his ninja headband that I've been wearing. You are an elite ninja.
That's okay. I'm more of a practitioner of Viking jitsu anyway.
So. Well, it's. That is true. We have a Viking, a ninja, and a pirate. All together.
And a wench.
And a wench.
Now, and a robot. We have a robot, Viking, ninja, and pirate all
together.
Yeah.
What does it make me?
You're an alien.
Oh, gee.
What am I?
You're a zombie.
I can see that.
No, I'm way too active to be a zombie.
Mark is a Jerry.
You're the guy from Half-Life 2.
You could lurch around.
You're a Morgan. I talk way too much to be Gordon.
You like those Will Smith zombies.
Yeah, they were like action-packed zombies.
Legend.
Yeah,
those weren't really zombies, though.
They were vampires.
They were just diseased people. They're like the Rage Men from 28 Days Later. They weren't really zombies.
I'm pretty sure those were kind of zombies, too.
They were vampires.
They were a special zombie.
They were vampires. They're supposed to be vampires.
In Legend, yes.
That's what we're talking about, right?
We're kind of switching between Legend and
zombies.
They're blurring the lines between zombies and vampires and other things. You never know exactly what.
You're eating on the podcast, Fess?
Fun fact, I dated Vincent Price's granddaughter.
Ooh, hey.
Related, because Vincent Price starred in the first version of the movie that I Am Legend is made off of, which was Omega Man?
Omega Man is the Charlton Heston version.
Okay,
like he was the last man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth, okay, yeah. So, tangential, but related.
All three films are from the same story. Down.
Awesome.
Don't drink it.
I'm not going to drink it.
I'll drink it.
I'm sure you will.
Yes.
But if you get,
if last night proved anything, if you hand me something and say, "Hey, this is alcohol," I go, "Okay."
So what did you told me about? What was it? You had some kind of drink or something that was weird.
Moonshine, was it?
Moonshine.
Yeah, they gave me moonshine at the Redneck Toast Friday night.
Okay.
And then, after I drank my cup full of it,
because I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't have mirrors or...
I do this thing at conventions that have room parties where, if I am able, and we weren't last night because we were doing Cinematic for the People, but I go to all the different room parties... And I challenge a signature drink from each of them. Like, Barfleet does the Yukon Torpedo as their drink. When there was a Hitchhiker's thing that ran a few years, they had a Pangalactic Gargle Blaster.
Yeah.
So I got there in time for one of the room parties, and there was a guy in a bathrobe, and he was making canopies with... he had caviar that came in a toothpaste tube. That's encouraging.
Tubo. Oh,
wow. Okay. Well, I'm feeling good now.
Then he had, it was like, he kept calling it corn squeezins that had been aged less than 30 days. And I'm pretty sure after I drank it, if I'd held a lighter up and gone, I could have shot fire. But the worst part is, after I drank the first cup, this cute girl comes up to me, and she's all smiles and batting her eyes, and I'm like, why, hello there. And then she dumps her cup in mine and then runs off.
I think that means you're engaged.
And now I feel like a tool because I've got a full cup of this stuff, and everybody's already finished drinking their stuff. And so I'm like, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. Someone stop me from Oscar.
And instead, of course, we as your friends encouraged you to drink it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we love
great
you.
Friends.
I know.
So the room parties at Penguin are kind of pretty good.
The room parties usually
are.
I'm sad we've missed the last couple of years' Saturday room parties because Mike and I do a live riffing of bad movies called Cinematic for the People. And with the wonderful help this year of Fess and Alex and Mark and Ahmed and several other people who came out to support us and to be tech support to make sure the show ran smoothly after last year. So, unfortunately we didn't finish until after last call, 2 years in a row now. We're going to try...
I brought rum.
He did. He brought rum, and I had rum, and Alex had rum, and he had rum.
I got drunk.
I had a lot of rum.
You were in our room until 4 o'clock in the morning. You were definitely drunk.
I had rum, and I had a bunch of hard cider, too.
The three of us then sort of propped one another back up to Fess and Alex's room, where we were going to watch episodes of Reboot, but never actually quite got around to it.
I blame Alex. Because you had a good bed.
Yeah, we would. We'd still be up there watching Reboot right now if Alex hadn't gone to bed last night.
So PenguinCon, Con Suite, still one of the best Con Suites.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty good this year, too.
When you get into that brief window where they have food, it's fantastic. Other times, it's a little scroungy.
They had some good beer.
Yeah,
good
if you have experience with con suites from most conventions, you're used to there being awkward conversation, cups and a water dispenser, and a bowl full of, like, M&Ms and pretzels that's sitting alone on a table. And a couple of people sleeping in there because they didn't get rooms for the weekend. This is not that sort of a con suite.
No. They really make an effort.
Hot dogs, cold sandwich meat. Yeah. They had Swedish meatballs Saturday night.
I was in panels all day. I didn't even get to.
Yeah.
It had like donuts
chips
and
popcorn.
Pop-Tarts.
They bring in Pop-Tarts for breakfast. And yeah.
Lots of Pop-Tarts.
Lots of beverages.
And
too.
Bathtubs full of drinks.
Water, soda.
And beer after six.
Yes. Yeah.
And they also have
just empty, the bottomless kegs of beer.
And they also have dry ice, custom ice cream. And
yeah, liquid nitrogen ice cream. It was awesome.
There was rum ice cream on Friday.
Did you all get some liquid nitrogen ice cream this year?
I didn't get some.
I've never been able to get any of the ice cream,
but I did get some liquid nitrogen to play with, which was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. That sounds safe.
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly a horrible idea, but, like, Saturday night, there were people that were, like, pouring it on their heads because it was, and then they were like, woo! And I don't have enough hair to support that sort of an idea because it's going to go straight to the scalp, but, you know.
It's going to burn through to the skull, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, this was a terrible banana starfish. But yeah, the girls that had lots of hair seemed to be real because it was like running down their hair, and then their hair was like, they were just like,
and then it hit their neck. It's like,
yeah, no, it was,
and then jiggling was involved, and it was fantastic.
Oh, it was.
2 weeks ago, I couldn't come up. I still had a bit of hair.
Your short hair is cute, though.
It's very bouncy.
All that hair had to go.
It suits you.
So if you're watching a video here, you see we all have this Doctor Who scarf-looking thing. What it's made of are these individual ribbons with sticky stuff on them.
It's called
glue.
So
you can attach them on
that you make these chains out of them. The idea is to get as many of these as you can from different vendors and different people.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat.
You are the stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if any other
time. Put them on the table.
I only wound up with four. However, it is worth noting that my robot puppet has probably one of the longer ones here.
Yeah.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's how many I had.
16.
So yeah, Hal, who is a puppet, managed to get just a ton of them.
Yeah.
And
he became a Dark Lord.
He completed
quests.
I aim to misbehave. League of Awesomeness. What's your power move? I tagged Flint. Dark Lords of the Sip. The thing from the Morton game. Jenna's Treasures. I learned something today, which I find incredibly interesting. He has his own official I Survived Cinematic for the People ribbon. Mm-hmm. Helped a tunist, which I count the fact that he held down Ahmed's stuff on his table so that it didn't blow away.
it counts as helping, yes.
Yeah, so Hal, every year Hal outdoes me, and I don't know how he does it, and I'm starting to get a little weirded out by it.
Didn't he disappear from your table?
Yeah,
like
he does wander
ago?
Once in a while.
That's the thing, is like when he...
With all the ribbons?
Yeah, I'll be sitting there at the artist's alley just doing my thing, talking to people. I'll look up, Hal's gone. And I don't even freak out anymore because like he's going to come back. They always bring him back. And then he shows up and he's got like five more ribbons. He's like, watch lesbians. And I'm like, what? Where have you been?
And how can I download the recording of your video camera?
Yeah, I think I should just mount a video camera in his chest.
Yeah, just in
it
his
It takes like
plate.
30
yeah.
second time delayed pictures. And then just, you know, like when I go home, I can watch the entire weekend as Hal saw it.
Like one of those cameras you strap to a tree outside. Do it.
Do it.
Yeah,
you know, that should dress up like the robot. Just have a giant robot outfit and have the robot.
Come on up. So the sidekick girl people are here.
Yay!
They're the next contestants.
Do you need to move the camera?
Let me check the camera.
Do we have a chair for a minute? Are we going to talk to him? Oh, yeah, we're going to sit him right in the middle.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do with him. I forgot.
You're going to keep doing it.
Okay.
Let's go over.
Whoa.
We could get rid of this chair.
Yeah, we don't need it.
Mark, you got some explaining to do.
That looks pretty good.
Okay.
All right, so.
Hurrah.
Okay. One last thing before we continue. So, cinematic for the people, since we've been talking about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, go into a little bit more depth of it before we continue.
We do open source movies so that we don't have to deal with rights management. And we have a unique process that makes us more than just another Mystery Science Theater 3000 doing group. We also have, like, funny subtitles. These subtitles are honest, if not accurate.
Yes.
They depict the spirit of the movie, if not the actual words being said on the screen. We also do, like, Rocky Horror pre-show style games and prizes. Like, last night we asked for a volunteer from the audience and didn't tell him what he was going to be doing.
He found out.
And Thor, one of the regulars from the con here, volunteered. And we sent him out into the hall with a party kit that we had prearranged, which was a grass skirt and coconut bra and a lei. And then when he came back in, we made him do a hula dance for everybody. And then he got some prizes. And
we have that on videotape, right?
So yeah, we have that on videotape.
Later. Yeah.
And then we just, like, throw random things into the audience, and we bring candy and food with us. So it's a party for everybody.
And then we show a whole bunch of just the weirdest clips on YouTube that we can possibly find. Just to keep people ready for the horribleness of the movies we're going to inflict.
And we're looking to soon, hopefully, have some, like, actual downloadable watch-it-at-home content, like a cleaned-up version of the movie that's got us riffing over it that, you know, it'll be like 99 cents or something obscenely cheap because...
It's cheap.
We give it away for free at conventions, so basically we just got to make server overhead.
Yeah.
But...
Once you get that up, remind me, and we'll get a link on the Webcast Beacon Network site.
Yeah, it's cinematicforthepeople.com or cftp.us if you don't want to type a bunch of stuff.
I don't know. That's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters, but it's only it's a lot of letters when you say it, but it's only six. And how many other URLs out there are actually just six characters long?
Well,
your mom.
Yahoo.
Oh! Yahoo.com is 8.
That's right.
Google is 9.
All right, so.
We're 3 shorter than Google.
Well, you know that www.com does exist.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the root domain. It's kind of a weird place. You don't want to go there.
I always wondered what's on www.com.
We like to go for it.
Anyway, webcomics.
That's your homework for tonight. Get back to
us. We have.
I bet it's.
One of you is Lauren.
I'm Laura.
Laura.
I'm Erica.
And Erica. We have Laura and Erica that do the webcomic Sidekick Girl with us. Along with Joe, and we also have Ahmed over there, which we're going to get you up here.
Come on, we got a chair.
Yes.
Front and center, you will be here.
But we're going to talk about Sidekick Girl here. So, I remember Sidekick Girl back on Comic Genesis, and it sounds like you're going to be moving to a new place soon.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, what I want from you two, pitch Sidekick Girl.
Yeah, we probably should practice this. Yeah, we probably should.
Pressure.
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 And go.
Pressure. Pressure.
Also, just a smidgen loud.
Look at all the people out there hanging on your word.
The eyes. They just watch.
The audience is on the edge of his seat.
All right, so what is Sidekick Girl all about?
Sidekick Girl is about a professional sidekick and her fighting crime, dealing with her superhero, who is a vapid but well-meaning woman.
She's really, really nice.
She's so nice.
Yeah.
She is so nice.
She's so sweet.
She's kind of like a Glinda.
She means well.
She means well. Well, Glinda gets things done occasionally, so no.
Oh.
Yeah.
She glows.
Yeah.
So we have Sidekick Girl, who is a professional sidekick. So I'm thinking of that episode of The Tick where Arthur meets all the other sidekicks and they're in the crappy bar.
And they're all kind of miserable and grumbling about their jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that happens.
Much. Yeah.
Right down
there
to
is a bar.
There's a bar.
There is, and it's good.
Yep.
So being a sidekick to a superhero, well, what is the hero, what is her powers? What are her powers?
Illumina can glow.
And she can also float about 4 feet off the ground.
Give or take.
And that's pretty much it.
That's it.
But she's very shapely, I believe is the word. She fills out her costume very, very well.
Does she have huge...
Traxalat?
So she has powers of distraction.
Yep.
Yes.
There you go.
So, what
so you stare at her, and
And we're noted in that on the TV Tropes page under Most Common Superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
She's designed like that on purpose. Sometimes when I'm drawing her, I feel like I offend myself. But, like, as a woman, but she's the whole point of how she's drawn is the point of her character. So
right.
I feel not as bad drawing huge...
Because you're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, you're being
she's
ironic.
She's a walking joke.
She is a walking joke.
Yeah.
But she's so nice.
She's such a sweet girl.
So
she's
you so have nice. A sidekick girl. What are her powers?
She can't die.
Yeah.
That really is her power?
Yep.
She's kind of like a much slower Wolverine.
Yep.
Like, she'll if she gets hurt, depending on how severe it is, the faster her body will heal itself. If she breaks her arm, she'll still be out for a couple of days because her body isn't really all that concerned.
So she's really good to put with a sidekick like Illumina, who needs all the help she can get and
has gotten a sidekick killed in the past. So so she's basically
almost
a bodyguard
perfect.
For her.
She's like the she's like a combination of bodyguard and that kind of personal assistant that actually runs the company while the CEO can't tie his own shoes. It's kind of like that. The whole point of the comic, a lot of it is to play on the tropes and stereotypes in superhero comics. There's, you know, you're more likely to become a hero if you have a tragic backstory. If you're an orphan, gold.
Free pass.
Your parents killed in front of you.
If your parents are killed in front of you, you know, it's set in Metro City, which one review dinged us for, like, the completely uncreative name of Metro City, and I think missed the point where it's
literally
it's city.
Yeah.
But it's Detroit.
It's city.
The our header has the Detroit skyline in the background. One of the heroes is the dark brooding hero.
The not Batman.
The not Batman. He is not Batman.
Not at all.
Not at all. But he does live in a mansion on Belle Isle. And he works alone. Except now he has a youthful ward, which is a position, not actually indicative of how old the youthful ward is.
Right.
Well above the age of consent.
I'm reminded just a little bit about a local comic from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Junior Varsity. And it's this kid, this wimpy-ass skinny kid, who finds out he has superpower. He's indestructible. But that's it. He's not strong.
Right.
He'll get hit by a bus. He'll go flying, and he'll be fine. He'll slam into things, break stuff, and he's just indestructible. He'll hit somebody. That's not going to do it. He's wimp. Mm-hmm. So he finds the not Batman, basically, of that world. And so he eventually is, like, using him as, like, as a shield and everything. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, this is great. And he's, like, being shot at. And it's like... He throws them through plate glass so he can. But yeah, no, it's sidekick. The sidekick comics can be really damn fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the website for Sidekick Girl?
Well, right now it's www.sidekickgirl.comicgenesis.com, and we're going to be looking into moving to our.
You didn't get a domain name yet?
Not yet. That's what we're looking into doing
next week.
Yeah,
like. Really? Even okay. Issues, so. As soon as it's like okay, we're getting ready for the con. As soon as the con's over, yeah. New website.
You should still buy the domain names now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yes.
So email me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so see if I can get it edited, not in the video, but like
right.
On the show post.
Yeah, it's most likely going to be sidekickgirl.net because as far that that's
yeah, but you never know if somebody.
It was available a couple of days ago. That's all I know.
Yeah, there's that. Back when I had my comic, which was fessandernst.com, but I wanted more reflective of the title, so I was like on the chat box because we had chat boxes then, and I'm thinking about getting psicomic.com, and it was available. Next day, unavailable. Squatter bought it because I mentioned
it.
So I got PSI webcomic instead.
So buy that domain before he posts this on the internet.
Yes.
Otherwise.
Yes. Right
so,
now.
Does one of you, do you both draw it, or does one of you write it and draw it? Or
I have Laura. I do the pencils and the inks. Recently, I got a Cintiq, so now I'm doing it directly into the computer. It's so fun. Erica,
I do the colors.
Erica does the colors, and she works the actual dialogue. We both write the story, though.
Right. So what I will get is the finished line work, and then her notes on the dialogue from the story that we've, you know, worked out ahead of time, and then exactly what turns out in those word bubbles is what I do, because sometimes, you know, editing for space, or I have more bubble room here than that line, so I can tweak it around a little bit.
That's kind of an unusual balance for a team. Usually you've got, like, the writer and the artist, so...
Well, the thing is, we're both writers and we're both artists, and
we couldn't really decide
what we're really going to do which one. So
you both share the potential. It's like, it's not like where you have the writer that has to pay the artist, and the artist has to. You're both so well entwined that you can't really mess with that too much. And
BFFs.
It's for like 15 years.
Until we kill each other. That's probably when the comic will end, after we kill each other for being roommates.
Right.
Or we go
on. So far, so good, though.
Or we go on the lam for killing James.
Is he going to be listening to this? You're a terrible roommate.
No, I'm not.
So you both have an investment in the art, and you both come up with a story together, which is actually a perfect symbiotic thing. I don't know anybody that does it that way.
Really?
Not that well ingrained. No.
Not that well integrated.
I mean, but, you know, it's like, I think there's, I don't know, it is very common to have, you know, your writer, artist, but there are a lot of teams out there that help out a little bit on each end, or at least the artist can get some input. I work on a comic called Ardra, and John Peters is the artist for it, and I offered to be the colorist because I figured it'd be easier to get art if I'll do the coloring. That's fine, and to try to alleviate some of the work there. But he's also come up with some ideas on his own that fit really well into. The characters, and I think that a lot of artists that do work as artists, if they have their own comics, you know, they have a lot of valuable input as well. But there are some people out there that's like, just tell me what to draw. I don't know what to draw. I remember when I was a kid, it's like I sit there with a pencil and paper. I don't know what to draw, and it's like, tell me what to draw. Draw a dog. I don't
want. And don't ask.
So. Wow, that's like the commission. That's like the freelance or the commission's role. Okay, well, what do you want this to look like? Oh, you know, do whatever you want. Okay, here you go.
That's not what I wanted at all.
That's not what I wanted at all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Joe, do you write and do the art for your comic?
I wouldn't. Write is a generous term for it, but yeah, I do the words. I create the words.
I make words look good.
And I don't spell very well, so my readers tell me how bad my grammar and spelling is.
Photoshop doesn't have spell check.
I have that same issue, actually, that I will post things up and all my readers will go, you did that wrong. Okay, sorry.
I think that's just how they show that they love us. I hope that's what it is.
Pretty much shows that they're trolls.
I wish I had that problem.
You know, I have a lot of trolls. I have, like, this group of, like, six guys that have been around for my comic for, like, the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And all they do is sit in my little chat box and troll each other. But it's awesome because they've become almost like guard dogs.
Yeah.
So if anybody else shows up, they attack it. And then if whoever comes along survives the attack, they're accepted into the herd.
Okay.
So it's kind of a... So I have trolls, but by golly, they're my trolls.
It doesn't have to be something...
They are under the bridge to your community.
Indeed.
And they stay there.
It doesn't
and they
have
take
to
trolls.
Be something bad, though. Aaron's story has... Because Poe sucks at spelling. And between his wife and I, we try and find most of the spelling mistakes beforehand, but he still manages to sneak a few through. So he's got it's one of the most popular threads on the forum, because there used to be a thing like at the end of the month, whoever turned in the most spelling mistakes got like a bookmark mailed to them or something.
Okay.
I don't think we're actually doing that anymore, but they're still, you know, like, oh, I found another one. It's like a race to be the first one to put the thing in so that you get credit for it.
For us, it was typo, or for me, since I'm the one doing the wording.
Yeah.
It's not spelling mistakes, it's typos.
That's why
it's switching a letter, and when that line is under in Photoshop because it's being active, I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hate that.
Yeah, and it's gotten a lot better. But one of the biggest threads that we ever had was a dozen people telling us that it wasn't sword, it was sword. With a P.
I found
the word out. Like, I would be typing along at the end, start down here, but I would have missed a word in there somewhere.
Well, one of the things, I have that too, because I have this obsessive thing of, like, I want the word bubbles to look the right shape and to be, like, kind of squared off. So sometimes I'll be like, so if I move the of to up there, and it winds up, after I'm done rearranging it, I've accidentally forgot, like, the main word in the sentence.
Or you have two ofs. You have the meaning of blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that
sort of
thing. I do that, too.
Yeah, it's like, hey, there's, like, double word. No, he's stuttering.
Oh, no.
Don't worry. There's a typo. Okay, yeah, thanks. I fixed it. It's going to be fixed in the comic you can buy version.
Yep. That's a special feature. It's all correct.
I actually have a mild form of dyslexia myself, so I will, like, leave a word out of a sentence and all of a sudden it will show up three sentences later out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's really strange once in a while. It's gotten so bad at certain points, I actually created a character for my comic called the Typo Ninja, that his entire job is to show up and go typo ninjutsu and, like, fix whatever I did wrong. So, I mean, you have to work around your candy caps once in a while, though. That's the only way you can get through it sometimes.
So, how about you, Ahmed? You never do typos in your comic.
His comics are perfect.
I don't actually have any dialogue.
Yeah, this is Ahmed Fahy.
Hold on.
Come on.
Silent Fire.
Come on.
I spoke.
Get in.
I need the chair.
Yes.
And we're pointing because we need to put them on. Get him in the chair.
There he is.
Yay.
Now that you're going to talk, and we're going to make him talk.
And he's been avoiding us all weekend. Well, no, he's been following us all weekend, but avoiding being on record as being...
There.
Perfect.
Yeah, block me out.
Block Joe up.
Now be entertaining.
Go.
Dance!
Oh, Ahmed! When did you first realize it?
Okay.
No, you should have kept with that. That could have worked.
So last year you came here and you were basically at a table and you're just like, oh, I'm going to draw stuff and hang out and whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't get you in the webcomic creator picture. So here you are now. Here's Ahmed.
Hi.
Last year you were doing a comic called Antisocial. Are you still doing that one?
No.
Okay, so your new comic is Silent Pirate?
Correct.
What is that about?
It's about a young boy who gets slingshotted onto a pirate ship by a bully. And then he joins their crew. And currently they're fighting giant robots.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
It's really clever.
Yeah.
Llama noise. It's really clever because there's no dialogue. And I think that's...
Well, there's
really
some dialogue.
Well,
there's
a little, but...
visual dialogue and there's some little captions and stuff.
But he has a first mate that speaks in internet memes.
And other memes.
And other memes. It's fantastic. And he has a llama that just goes, llama noise! It's the most fantastic thing ever.
So,
thank you.
There we go. See, look at this nice guy from L.A.
Sort of.
Oh, wait.
Well,
sort of.
I live in L.A. right now, and I'm probably going to move. We'll see.
So this is probably the nicest person that currently lives in L.A.
Which is why he has to move, because he's falling off the ratio.
You're setting a too good of example for L.A. I'm kidding. I've never been to L.A. I can't say for sure. Where are you moving to?
I don't know.
Don't know.
He's moving here so he can go to...
Yeah! All right, so, it's... everyone else is relatively from... So what made you decide actually to come all the way out from West Coast to the middle of...
Michigan.
The small of the back of America.
Well, I've been going to PinguCon for a few years now.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't notice?
Yeah, I remember him from
he's been here every year. Yeah, he's been here every year for... 4 years,
it's
three
been a blur.
Years.
I swear,
so you
he's a ninja.
Here.
I swear he's a ninja.
I only remember you mostly last year for some reason.
No, he was here.
Oh, he's been
he's
here.
Well, he's so
he's
you're so quiet.
Table with me
yeah.
2 years ago. Remember, he was right next to me.
Yeah, you had him tied up.
He was all tied up.
I didn't have him tied up.
Now I remember. Yeah, he was
tied
up. Yeah,
yes.
You did that.
The turtle had him tied up.
Now I remember you. You're that guy.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so still, what made you want to come out to PinguCon then?
Well, I went there because it seemed like a big webcomics thing, a nice, fun webcomics convention-ish thing.
Okay.
Well, not just webcomics, of course, but other stuff, but webcomics were there, and it sounded like fun. And then I really, really, really liked it, so then I came back the next year, and then I really, really liked it, so I'm back here now.
Okay.
Back here again.
Yeah, I think it was 2009, which we all...
I think 2010.
Okay. 2010. I know that Webcomic Weekend came in 2009.
This is our fourth PinguCon.
Yeah, because I remember on the site, on the about page, there should be like I think a PinguCon 2009 picture, 2010 picture, and 2011 pictures. So we'll get a picture here before we leave, so I can put that on the site.
And I think Ahmed also has a request. So.
Oh, what?
I think
the web comicers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so but the point was is that 4 years ago there wasn't really. Well, there wasn't any sort of webcomic thing. I think there's like a webcomics con now. I'm not
kind
sure
of
if it's
carved our little hole.
But that's like East Coast, and then there's New England Webcomics Weekend, which is basically the big guys, and then whoever they want to invite. So it's not like most people can even get into it, but yeah.
So this one is cool because it combines a couple of things.
Well, it started really strong. We'll see what happens next year, but.
I'm going to rescue Almond by giving him an out here. I wanted to go back as the host of the Tropecast and ask them the favorite tropes that they have writing for the superhero comic.
I like Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Dude Looks Like a Lady.
I like hanging a lampshade on it. I love hanging lampshades on things. Because you can get away with anything. Any horrible, horrible thing as long as you acknowledge that you're doing it.
Supposedly.
It's worked so far.
Yeah.
The phrase obligatory backstory has made it into the dialogue. Like, is it time? Saying this going to make this less contrived? God, I hope so.
So are the characters like trope aware? Or at least sidekick girl?
Genre savvy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the characters in general are actually pretty genre savvy because the things like the obligatory backstory or tragic past, those things are mentioned within the comic in dialogue to other characters. So they it's not so much that there's the breaking of the fourth wall. The characters are generally not aware that they are characters in a story, but they are aware that their world is this genre. Because that's reality.
There are certain rules that you have to follow.
There's full rules that need to be followed if you're a licensed superhero.
Right.
Well, I just meant like narrative rules. You know, like if this happens, then get ready because that's about to happen too.
Kind of like in what was it, The Incredibles, where they more than one time brought up the whole, well, he started monologuing again, and so...
Yeah.
That's the monologue joke.
I think we've made the monologue joke.
At least once.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of... there's elements of those sorts of things in it. The Incredibles, you know, costume superhero world.
Venture Brothers.
I'm sorry?
Venture Brothers.
Sky High, if you ever saw that, terrible, terrible movie. I love that movie. It's awful. But there's, you know, they go to school. They go to college to get degrees in superheroing.
Reminds me of the other old comic that was around called Taco Man and Burrito Boy.
Delicious.
That these two guys decide to go to school, and for some reason, the one's head turns into a burrito on his 21st birthday. And then he gets a roommate with a guy who has apparently has a taco for a head.
Okay.
And the two of them enroll in superhero college.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Except Taco Man, who's supposed to be the leader, doesn't have any powers. And he's just this big jerk.
I'm delicious!
And then Burrito Boy ends up with the one with the ability to fly and like has super strength and invulnerability and everything.
Mm-hmm. I remember that comment.
Yeah, it was...
Well, and there are similarities to something like that because you know, especially in
you have a character with a head that's a Mexican dish.
We do not.
Okay.
Yet.
Yes.
However,
the enchirito.
We do have a character.
Churro boy. Sorry.
Churro boy.
Sorry. Go ahead.
We do have a character whose sole purpose was to operate the ray gun to do the body switch arc because you always got to have a body switch. So we had this random steampunky type guy with a death ray that malfunctions, but we needed to get rid of him quickly because the story wasn't supposed to be about fighting the villain. The story was about crap, we're in each other's bodies, and we hate each other's bodies. So, you know, he blew his own head off with the death ray. He disintegrated his own head. We called him Clockwork Joe. Not because we agreed upon the name, but because when I was typing out the thing, he needed to say something like, ha, I, Clockwork Joe, will blah, blah, blah. I go, okay, Clockwork Joe. I don't have to think up something clever for him. He's dying in a week. The readers adored him as more than any other villain that we had had before. Or
in two comics, he blew his head off.
It's fucking how that works. Yeah.
It is. They adored him. So now he's going to...
I should kill off.
Does he have a clone of himself hidden somewhere?
No, he has a robo butler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to have a butler,
he has a robo butler.
Maybe trying to attempt to build him a
rebuild
sort of...
his beloved master.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or maybe the head's going to show back up. You never know.
With legs. I don't know.
Like spidery things.
You'd be surprised the number of times things like that happen. One of the things. I am regrettably probably the more famous for is when I was doing the Apple Discord a few years ago. It was a hypothetically a like random joke a day sort of comic three times a week, and I wanted to sample the forbidden fruits that are gay jokes. So without being, I decided if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this so far that it's going to be like ridiculous. So I created Gayzilla, a giant gay Godzilla dinosaur that's like neon pink and breathes flowers.
Rawr.
Yeah, and rawr. And the LGBT community loved Gayzilla.
Okay.
It was supposed to be just like a one comic thing where they're like, you see Gayzilla attacking another monster, and then there's two characters like, wow, they're fighting, and then they're like, They're not fighting, are they? So then, you know, like that one, it hit Stumble. It went crazy. I got like T-shirt requests. I wound up making a line of Gazilla T-shirts
because those shirts,
they wanted a T-shirt for a LGBT webcomic charity auction, and I was like, all right, well, I'll show them. So the next one had Gazilla biting the end of a the end off of a boat and sucking out all the semen. And I just kept taking it like, you know, like, correct. Well, this is going to turn them off. And no matter how bad I tried to make it, it
well,
was.
Once they were, oh,
and what about Mecha Gazilla and his giant drill?
Yeah, Mecha. Then we introduced Mecha Gazilla, who had a giant crotch-mounted drill, and when I eventually gave up the Apple of Discord, we were about to start on a new Gazilla arc where he was fighting against the Village Force 5. It was like a Village People Power Rangers. Because it works. It works because you've got construction workers, the Yellow Ranger, the sailor is the White Ranger, the cop is the Blue Ranger, the biker is the Black Ranger, and the Indian is the Red Ranger. So I get to be offensive to a lot of people. But no, I mean, the more I was like, I'm going to turn this up to 11, and I'm just going to... No, it was... I can't. I don't even know...
I can't. I'm trying so hard to offend you that I can't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So please hate me.
So, we are coming up towards the end of our time here. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Hey, there's like 5 more people in the audience.
Hi, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. They're here for the next thing, which isn't on the schedule.
Yeah, he is on both the friends who have made guest appearances list and the villain list.
Hurrah!
It's the same picture. Because that's the villain right there.
Okay. All right. So, is there supposed to be something in here afterwards?
At 3, yeah. Closing ceremonies.
Closing ceremonies. Let me check my schedule here.
Get off the stage.
Now, according to this, it doesn't say that.
It's like, quick, we have to get everybody in here.
So, I don't think it does.
Yeah, because the schedule's never been wrong all weekend.
No, that could never happen.
But anyway, so that is all we have for this week's edition of the Webcast Beacon Network, Webcomic Beacon. I don't even know what show this is supposed to be. Probably webcomics.
Let's count this also as a trope cast. It can be like a... You can tag both of them in WordPress so that it comes as like, you know, Beacon episode this and trope cast episode
that. It'll screw this side up if I try to do that. I'll have code competing.
Put it on twice then.
It's not trope casty enough. Sorry.
We talked about
there's
tropes.
More of us than you.
We talked about tropes.
I'm the executive producer. I can.
This is more tropes than we normally get to in a
diabolical plans.
Anyway.
Anyway, but
tropes.
I think this is also an episode of Who's the Boss too.
Yeah, Who's the Boss? Me.
I think I'm as trope.
Yes. So anyway,
on the back.
You want to hide now?
Can I go now?
Anyway, ending. This has been the Webcomic Beacon podcast with the Trope cast, a little bit of the news cast, and our guests Joe Fu, Lauren and
Laura
and Erica.
Yep.
And Ahmed right up here. Yay! Ahmed. Be sure to check out webcastbeacon.com for more. And that is it for this episode. We got to get out of here. And stay tuned to the website. Check us out live at webcastbeacon.com/live. See what we're going to broadcast next. See ya.
Bye.